Welcome to another All Business Podcast. This is Ted Schubel. Thank you for bringing us up on your phone or your computer or wherever you are listening. We talk with area business owners here, the people that make the region work. When we come back, we're all business.
The All Business Podcast is supported by Richmond to DC HelpWanted.com. Most folks who work here love living here, and that makes a difference. At Richmond to DC HelpWanted.com, they're proud to work the hometown advantage around the clock, connecting local employers to local job seekers. Richmond to DC HelpWanted.com makes it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. And if you're looking for a good local job, search jobs and apply online right now. Get the advantage of finding a job close to home at Richmond to DC HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
We're in the 1000 block of Caroline Street in downtown Fredericksburg, Whittingham, and the kitchen at Whittingham. Bob Whittingham with us this week on the podcast. Bob, I have been looking forward to this. It's great to meet you. It's great to be in your stores.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here and working with you and talking with you, and let's see where this goes.
We're gonna cover a lot of things, and as I told you before, what we're gonna do a lot today is talk about seasonal things, and we're gonna get into the windows, but we're also gonna talk about the store a little bit, and we'll do another podcast in the spring and really focus on what you do here. But talk a little bit about the stores. How did you get into kind of kitchenwares and homewares and that kind of thing?
That sort of fell into place by accident. Because I lived in New York City, and I was doing visual merchandising for stores and doing benefits, styling for magazines, then moved to Virginia and to Fredericksburg, started a store, very small, about 250 square feet, just kind of grew and grew. And I started adding some housewares things, and that grew. Then I opened the one store here. On the one side had housewares in the back. Then the building next door became available, and so that was a great opportunity to turn it into a kitchen store with the kitchen so that we could do cooking classes, which we do year-round except December. And so that, it just kind of grew and grew and grew, and here it is.
Well, you seem to enjoy it, and the selection you have, you've got everything.
I try and find the things that you're not going to find every place else. We've got some fun little gadgets of how to make a square egg, things that you just wouldn't find in other stores. And we, of course, carry all the big things that you're going to need and that you see all over. But it's fun just to shop, and because everybody loves gadgets.
I sit here in the little area we're in. I've looked around at a couple of things and thought, this is where I'm going to come to get some gadgets for my wife for Christmas.
Sounds good to me.
Have gadgets and things like that? Everything has become so much more technological. I guess it's opened the door for more gadgets.
The techno part is, yes, big, but it's... You see, if you're cooking, you still need to measure teaspoon, cup, so on. So it's just refining some of those items that have been around for a long time and just making them new and fresh, possibly different colors, different materials that they're made out of. But people love gadgets, and it's something they can, for the tourists, it's something they can pack in their suitcase and take home.
You mentioned being in New York City and what visual displays and mm-hmm. things like that. What's your story?
Well, I moved from Minnesota, where I worked in display, and then came to New York, went to Abraham and Strauss for several years, and then I had the opportunity to be display director at Cartier in New York, which was a wonderful time, very exciting, all the personalities and celebrities that used to come in. Then there was a recession in the early 70s, and so I left there and started freelancing, and then I freelanced for years, which was also great for me, kind of expanding myself. And then I had the house down here, and then decided since I was getting a little older that maybe it was time to slow down, but I don't think I've slowed down anything at all.
Well, you coming here, I mean, it's obviously Fredericksburg's gain, and we're going to talk about the windows and all, but Any kind of special schooling training that you get for with you know when you were doing displays?
I didn't. I started literally right out of high school at a department store in St. Paul, Minnesota, and then just kept on from there. I did go to art school for a while, but I wasn't that great of an artist. And there are some places where you can go, like FIT has courses in visual merchandising, but I never did it. I guess I just had it in me to do it. And
that's what I was going to ask you. So you just kind of have a thing where you can see yeah. things, and I guess you have to be able to visualize things.
I can visualize something of what it's going to look like and hope it turns out. Sometimes it doesn't quite come out the way you want it, but you change things around, try and make it work.
How did you ever land it? I mean, were you kind of an artistic person, or how did this come about?
No, even in grade school and high school, I was always doing posters for school, and I was working on class plays, that kind of thing, floats for homecoming, so on. And then just, as I say, I started at a department store in St. Paul for right out of high school and just went on from there. And so it's been a lot of fun, a lot of changes in display. It's not what it used to be. But retail isn't what it used to be.
Yeah, I was just going to say that so much used to be made of displays, but it is not so much anymore?
Well, it got expensive. When I was at Dayton's, there were 37 people in the display department. And by the time I left, moved to New York, one time I went back, and there were 8 in the department. It's just, it cost money to do it. So they found that sales clerks could change the dresses on a mannequin or do something. So now it's just pile it up and stack it out and stack it up and pile it up and sell it. It's kind of, we all remember window displays, but it's been kind of a dying art. You'll still see it in New York and Chicago, some of the major cities, and even small towns. Fredericksburg used to do displays all the time, too.
And you, to some extent, you still, I guess, have your hand in able to do that.
It's what I enjoy doing. It's what I did for so many years, and now having a store and 2 wonderful windows to work in. Yes, I do it, and it's like the Christmas windows. It's when I was a child, my mother would take my brother and I to Minneapolis to see the animated windows at Dayton's. So it was always exciting for me. And all towns used to do it, big cities, small towns, all the stores did something, and that has pretty much gone away. Fortunately, Fredericksburg, we're doing the Window Wonderland, so a lot of the stores are doing some exciting little things, usually on a budget, but they're doing some fun things, so it's worthwhile coming down just to see what everybody is doing.
Has anybody ever come to you for advice?
Oh, yes, all the time. What should I do? Please come and decorate my house. So,
Bob Whittingham, our guest on the All Business Podcast this week. We're at Whittingham Downtown and also the kitchen at Whittingham in the 1000 block of Caroline Street. You mentioned the Christmas windows, and I think that's the how many years have you been doing it? And how did it get started? Because this is something that people talk about and wait for.
It, when I had the 2 stores here where I was doing Christmas windows, they weren't like they are today. It evolved, and all of a sudden we were, okay, we got doing this, and then, let's put backgrounds in, let's do flooring. And I've got 2 people that really are so good, Linda Silk Sivlin, who does the figures. She makes the clothes for them. She's a wonderful artist, and she paints the backgrounds. And a carpenter who's extremely good, Tom Rainey. And I can ask him to build something, and a half an hour later, there it is. And he's amazing. And it's something that he enjoys doing, I believe. And he's just so good at it. And so the 3 of us kind of work it out together and see how we can do it.
How soon in advance do you make your plans?
Well, we talk about it maybe at Christmas when we're doing the windows, tossing ideas around, and once in a while something, see if it sticks to the wall, and sometimes it doesn't. But try to have it all planned out of what the windows will be by July, because in July I go to Atlanta to market, and maybe there's some things I can find there that would work for the windows. But it gets complicated of what you can do into the windows too. Whether it's, when we're planning it, okay, what's it going to cost? Can we get the materials? How are we going to be able to get it into the window? Because once it's in the window, it stays there for 6 weeks, but light bulbs burn out, and we have to get back into the window, and it's very tight space to working with.
I never thought of that.
No. So you're all these little things. Okay, how can I get in? How can I get out? And we make everything. We make the figures. We've gotten dolls from a woman in Texas. We've even found some dolls at some of the Goodwill. And we redress them, we reuse them. Sometimes one might become kind of a Frankenstein because it's the head of this one, the hands of another, the feet of something else, another body, put it all together. We paint all the backgrounds. The windows that people really did like was the one with the mice, but it was a major amount of work because at that time there wasn't a lot known about what we could do as far as making a mouse. So it was with the wool, and it's called needle felting, and it took maybe 7 to 10 hours to make each one, and we had 51 mice in the window. So you kind of figure the time spent on that was.
Well, I was just gonna say, you had, as I remember, there were a lot of them.
There were a lot of mice. One of the early ones that we did was a candy castle, and the castle was tallest part. The tower was 6.5 feet tall, and it was all out of candy. And that was a construction thing. Since the castle was all out of lucite, but it had to be built so that it could hold all this candy. And we used over 400 glue sticks gluing candy on. And it was all lit from inside. And that was a window that I really did like. It was interesting, just a little different.
So have you had favorites or a few that just stand out?
Yeah, the candy castle was one. The medieval one, sort of a Camelot, which was all a frosted castle. It was all lucite, which we frosted, and then all the figures were medieval characters, and that was a good one. And a simple window that I did was just a lot of trees, white trees. And I took three garden hoes, which the handles were natural, and then the hoe part was red, and lined them up. And a lot of people didn't get it, but it was ho, ho, ho. So
I would not have gotten it, but I get it now.
Yeah. So that was fun. There was one that people also talk about. I had this Alaskan wolf, white, and it was snowing in the window and trees, and it was really very pretty, and it was just a lovely window. I enjoyed doing that one.
Bob Whittingham, our guest on the All Business Podcast, where Whittingham Downtown is where the on Thanksgiving evening, 6 o'clock is when it's
unveiled. That's when the windows open. Figured that people kind of have Thanksgiving dinner early, and then it's like, well, all right, now let's get out of the house and walk around. And they come downtown to see the opening of the windows, and there's still time to get everybody home. So,
how exciting is that day for you?
It's crunch time. Many times we're still working in the windows on Thanksgiving Day just to get them finished. But we always manage to do it. But it's a rush sometimes to do it.
Now we're talking a couple weeks out from Thanksgiving, but so what's the time frame? Because right now the windows are still open, but at some point you close them off and start working.
We will take out the windows that are in right now on the 17th of November, which is a Saturday. Get the panels in, then get the backgrounds in, then get the flooring in, and then do what we're doing on the floor, and then start to put some of what we're doing into the windows. It's hard to do animation because, it's 6 weeks of the windows being in, and something always breaks down. And that it becomes expensive on that, too.
So I never thought you did. Just the cost of things. I mean, there's a lot of time involved in this. I know it's a labor of love, but you do have to figure those kind of things in there.
Well, it's figuring hopefully what the cost is going to be, and that we, of course, trying to keep it down. And with luck, customers will come and see the windows and then come in and shop and help pay for those windows so we can do it again.
I know this is all highly secretive, so we're not going to get everything answered of what it is, but what can you tell us about this year's theme at least?
Well, the windows are fairy tales, different ones, but I won't tell which ones they are. You just have to come and see them. So we have our little cast of characters that were in there, which are all dressed and ready to go. And we're still working on some things of a castle tower that has to be finished up. There's a bed that has to be finished up, and lots of small things that, because we're trying to, it's the detail that is, to me, is very important.
I was just going to say that's the one thing when you talk about the Whittingham windows is just the detail, and you can stand out here at any time and watch families and really anybody of any age just looked and spend a lot of time at the window and notice. I always notice things I didn't notice before.
Well, that's kind of not the point of the windows, but just for something to see, to look at and say, oh, look at that, look at that. And there's a variety of people, from children to adults to grandparents. So they all see something different, and it's a surprise to all of them.
It must be exciting for you to just watch people's reaction the 6 weeks it's up.
It is very fun, and it is a joy to see it, especially, of course, little children. But there was one time we'd photographed the windows at night, had the one window photographed, and we're over on the other side. And I looked over to the other window, and there was a man, and I would say he was maybe a truck driver, construction, late 50s, and he was just looking at that window, and he finally turned, and he said, "That's beautiful." And he came over, and he was a little kid again, and it really just, it got to me. It was so nice, and he was back to his childhood, and that was wonderful to see that in somebody.
I can totally relate, because I grew up in a small town in the Midwest, and you look at these windows a lot of times, and it does. It takes you back to growing up.
To a wonderful time in your life.
Yeah.
And it's really sad that big stores aren't doing it anymore. Again, like I said, it's the expense of doing it.
Yeah. So. How many years now have you been doing the windows here in Fredericksburg?
I've been in this space now for almost 18 years. And the windows at first did not start out being what they are today. So it's been about 10 years of doing the windows the way they are, you know, with backgrounds and figures and not, because there is no merchandise on the windows.
Yeah. Well, and that's what makes it, that's what makes it so unique, and it shows really the passion and the love you have for this, that at the busiest time of the year, you're wanting to tell a story or take people back.
Take people back and make it an enjoyment for them. That Christmas is a wonderful time of the year, and it's not all about merchandise, and selling. As a merchant, yes, I do want people to come in and purchase, but it's still part of the joy of what Christmas is. It's not just, it's more than candy and selling.
It is. It's fun to walk by here in the holidays to see, because people of all ages.
All ages, and they're here at sometimes at 7 in the morning, and I've seen them at 11 o'clock at night looking at the windows. So.
Well, and just like the story, you know, when you talked about the person who took back to his childhood, there I will see people sometimes standing at the window that I would never expect to be the kind of someone who would be window, not in this case shopping, but just going back, and that. Mm-hmm. What a testament to what you do.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
I can't wait to see what you do. How many hours will this year it take you to put it all together?
I never really look at that and think about it. I never really even look at times what it's going to cost. My bookkeeper, I think, is a little surprised that I'm not more concerned about it. But I think if I knew the actual price of what I was spending on this and the amount of hours, I probably wouldn't do it the way I am.
Well, we're lucky that you get to do this. And I the funny thing is, I've heard of people who really do plan their Thanksgiving meal around having it at a certain time so they can be here at 6 o'clock to see the opening.
Well, thank you. It's we used to do it at noon, but then I was like, why am I doing this at noon? Because the windows look much better at night because of the lighting. Mm-hmm. So, and they don't look as good at noon, so then it was, well, let's change it to 6 p.m. So that kind of worked around that, and that works very well now for doing it that way.
Well, and to get back to the store as we kind of wrap up, the Bob Whittingham is on the All Business Podcast with us. The store here on Caroline Street, like we say, you've got whether it's things for your house, for your kitchen, you've got some terrific looking stuff here.
Thank you. It's not a store for everybody, but we've got everything from toys to some clothing to lots of Christmas floral, all the kitchen things that you could use and need. I think we've got a store that's worthwhile coming down to see.
You have a red Christmas tree over there. I'm fascinated by it. To me, it's very unique.
Have a red Christmas tree, have a white Christmas tree. We've got 6 Christmas trees and one even a silver Christmas tree. We talked about putting a color wheel on and having it turn around over there. Very much the 50s.
Yeah. Other ways that people can find out about stores, you have a website or anything like that?
We have a website. We do not sell from the website because it would take just too much of our time right now. So we encourage people to come into the store and take a look around. We'll help them as much as we can.
And what are your hours?
9 to 5:30 every day, Friday nights until 8. Sundays from 11 to 5, and of course, the closer we get to Christmas, we'll be open every night and just longer hours to accommodate people for shopping.
Well, I feel like we've just touched the surface because you've been here long enough. I'd like to come back and do another show with you and just talk about me, because you're one of the people you've noticed, you've seen a lot of changes in downtown Fredericksburg.
There have been a lot of changes, and there's always change, and there seems to be a lot more coming up, too. So.
Well, we will do more. It's early, but Merry Christmas. Thank you for what you do with the
Thank
windows.
Thank you, Ted. It's wonderful talking with you.
we will do this again. Thanks, Bob.
Okay, you're welcome. Come see us.
If you enjoy listening to this podcast, please link, comment, and subscribe. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. You can also find us on Channel B Online at b1015.com, keyword podcasts. If you'd like to talk about your business, I want to hear from you, Ted at WFVARadio.com, the best way to get in touch with me, Ted at WFVARadio.com. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Until next time, when again, we are all business.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed by the host and guests on this podcast are their own and not necessarily those of Centennial Broadcasting.